I'm like, oh no, but this is so rare, finding like a big piece like that, this is amazing.
Welcome to 100 Years, 100 Objects, stories from the collections of Lancaster City Museums. My name is Millie Wellborn, and I'm a museum assistant for Lancaster City Museums. In this series, we're celebrating 100 years of our museums by looking in depth at 100 of our favourite objects and the stories that they can tell. On this episode of 100 Years, 100 Objects, we're diving into the lives of the Romans. Our object today is small and fragile, but has managed to survive over 1,600 years to bring a little bit of colour into the way we see everyday life in Roman Britain. Today's object is a piece of plaster from the Lancaster Roman bathhouse. The plaster we are looking at today is an irregular shaped piece of the wall of the Roman bathhouse. It is one of several that survive in the collection, but this one is one of the largest, about the size of your palm. Along the edges, you can see the rough reddish-brown material that the walls were made of, but the top surface is smooth and multicoloured. It has been covered with plaster and then painted with stripes of various colours, including white, red, yellow and green. We spoke to archaeologist and assistant curator at Tully House, Doc Boughton, to find out more about the bathhouse in Roman Lancaster. Where was it? What was it used for? And what would it have looked like?
All very good questions, which I think haven't actually really been answered yet. We know exactly where it is. In some ways, fortunate for visitors to Lancaster and people who live in the Lancaster area, you can actually go and have a look at it. It's on Castle Hill, just past the Priory. If you walk down towards the Maritime Museum, you can't miss it. There's a panel as well explaining a little bit about the site and what it looked like and what it was there for. And you can still see quite a bit of the remains. As sites in Lancaster go, it's actually a good one because we haven't got that much archaeology in the ground still, or, you know, visible to the public. So, yeah, it's a good site. It's not quite clear if it's actually one big bathhouse that was potentially used by all the soldiers of the fort, or if it was maybe a smaller bathhouse that was part of the commandant's house, so only the maybe senior officers were allowed to use it. Or else, one of the other explanations was that it was part of what's called a mansio, which is like a traveller's inn. Most likely, it was either the bath for the fort or part of the commander's house. Sadly, most of the baths are now under the multi-story car park, so we probably will never find out exactly. Even though we don't quite know who used the bathhouse, we know quite a lot about the bathhouse itself. Romans like to standardize things, so even though the layout of bathhouses may have been quite different all over Britain, they basically had all the same elements. They would have had a steam room, a warm room, a hot room, a cold room. They would have had a room for changing, a latrine. People, you know, could do other things. they would even have had maybe a place where you could buy or consume food. It always depends, obviously, how big the bathhouse was and who was using it. So just as for a comparison, the one in Carlisle that was recently excavated was quite a monumental build. And food was definitely sold and consumed in the bathhouse. If our bathhouse is part of maybe a smaller mansio, a smaller inn, or a private bath used by the commander and his friends, there may have been signs for food, but not that much because it's a private affair. We also know that the bathhouse had at least three phases. It was in existence for at least 200 years, which is quite long. We know that the first phase was a timber phase, where it's like a timber structure to go with the fort or the commander's house. That was around 100 AD. And then it was rebuilt in stone around 120 AD. It must have been a beautiful, very nicely built structure. That's when the wall plaster was used in the bathhouse as well. And it was used, definitely used, because it fell into disrepair towards the end of the second century, early third century. Around mid-third century, they clearly decided we need to rebuild it. But the things they used, their roof tiles and wall tiles, weren't as nice. The whole build wasn't as stable, it wasn't as great, but again, it was still used, and then after that it fell into disrepair, and that was basically the end of that.
How did the Roman bathhouse fit into what was happening in Roman Britain at the time, and was it an unusual thing to find?
It's not a surprising find. Bigger Roman forts would have had bathhouses, and you know, Lancaster had a Roman fort, and the bathhouse was on Castle Hill, just next door. And it is not unusual that they would have had bathhouses. Hartnott had a bathhouse. Bewcastle had a bathhouse. Ravenglass had a bathhouse. Carlisle had a bathhouse. There, most of them would have had a bathhouse for the soldiers to relax in. So it's something that doesn't really exist on its own, but it came with the Roman soldiers. And we know that Lancaster was a super important outpost for the Romans because of the River Lune and the location on Castle Hill where they could build the fort, where they could overlook the Lune and the harbour. We know that they had shops down on China Street and around the market area. The city would have been much smaller, but you would have had locals that were in the area before, and there would have been, even though they probably weren't too happy about the Romans coming and building a huge fort, yeah, even though they may not have liked the invaders, they also saw them as an opportunity. So the city, or the village, the vicus, and then the city grew around Lancaster quite quickly. And that's what would have happened in other places like Carlisle as well. And we have so many Roman forts, Hartnott being probably the exception, because that was like out in the sticks. If you've ever driven there, it is in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the lakes. And as far as I know, there's no vicus or anything around it. That's like the fort that didn't really have anything else. But most of the Roman forts, be it in northwest England or elsewhere, you would have early medieval and then medieval cities growing around them, like York is a very famous one, Chester obviously, London, then all the place names that have the castle, the Chester end, so Rochester, Roxeter, Ilchester, Lancaster, it'll probably have some Roman fort underneath.
Dot explained why this chunk of plaster was so important and what it could tell us about how the inside of the bathhouse looked.
We have something extremely fragile and very rare in British and especially Northwest English contexts. It is super crumbly plaster, so like little sticks and sand held together by some mortar, which was basically how the wall of the bathhouse was constructed. That plaster was painted. So the inside walls of the bathhouse would have been white, and then somebody would have painted them using all sorts of colours, red, browny grey colour, yellow. You could have had all sorts of motifs. Mostly it's just geometrical, so you just have like a frame or line. Sometimes you get, like, if you look at Pompeii, obviously maybe not a good comparison to Northwest England, but if you'd looked at Pompeii, they actually have frescoes of people feasting and animals and all sorts of things in their houses. But one of the reasons why they have all these exciting things and we don't is preservation, which is why we chose the wall plaster, because wall plaster is something that in Northwest England doesn't really survive all that well. It is really super crumbly, and actually finding painted wall plaster in our little part of the world, the Roman world, is actually quite rare. I have not seen it for many Roman bathhouses in our area. We know it existed, and the chunk that we have from Lancaster is actually quite big. It is, I think sometimes it's one of these objects on display where people go, that doesn't really look like much. But I think as archaeologists who's been on site, I'm like, oh no, but this is so rare, finding like a big piece like that. This is amazing, more amazing than like nails and things. Yeah, plus it's pretty to look at.
Most of the history of the bathhouse and wider Roman Lancaster that we know today has been put together through a series of archaeological digs. Dot told us a little bit about the digs on the bathhouse site and how they knew what they had found.
There were a couple of digs that happened, some in the 1950s and then another couple in the 1970s. They all looked at the Roman remains on Castle Hill. Well, once they got all the way down and they found what we call hypocaust, you normally can identify a bathhouse by the architecture quite well, because you have the hypocaust system that I mentioned, the system that would basically allow hot air to circulate around to make the room nice and hot. So you'd have underfloor heating, you'd even have flue tiles, you'd have like hollow tiles that would make the walls nice and warm. Also what they found at Lancaster is the part of the furnace and the fire tunnel, where underground you have somebody like a slave stoke or a servant stoking the fire where the heat would come from. So all of that was found at Lancaster.
And finally, Dot told us a little bit more about the small personal objects found at the bathhouse site and how archaeologists knew what time period they were from.
in this case, the dating of the objects probably went on the dating of the face of the bathhouse, and the bathhouse faces were dated by inscriptions. We have two inscriptions, one from 118, I think, and one from 266, which is how we know when the second phase of the bathhouse was, so around 120, and when the third phase of the bathhouse was, which was around 266. So this is how the phases are dated. And then if you know in what phase you are digging, then that object goes with that phase, if that makes sense. The finds from the bathhouse were quite straightforward, really. There was a lot of Korma pottery, which is really nice, finding a lot of local pottery that was obviously produced just down the road. We have lots of Samian ware, which is pottery that came from France and southwest Germany and Switzerland. It's slightly more special pottery. It's shiny and red, got really lovely slip on. Normally you get a lot more decoration on Samian ware as well. It's like your Sunday's best. It's slightly more special than the normal stuff you get. Samian ware as well as like local wares are very common on Roman sites in Britain. The metal and other artifacts found on the bathhouse is normally stuff that you lose when you go swimming or when you go out. We have a stylus, for example, which is like a pen. We have mounts, like leather mounts. They are little attachments like studs that went on leather belts or any kind of clothes. We have brooches that would have held cloaks together. Money, we have lots and lots of Roman coins as well. Like when you go out and you lose bits of jewelry, you lose buttons, you lose bits of zippers, and you lose coins. It's literally the same thing, only in Roman times. They're normally found in the drains as well. So the bathhouse would have had drains, and they are all silted up now. They're all full of soil. And when you excavate those, that's normally where you find like the tiny little bits of jewelry and coins and things, stuff that basically rolls into the drain and you can't find it ever again. And then archaeologists 2000 years later find it. Hurrah.
Thank you for venturing into the Roman bathhouse with us on 100 years, 100 objects. If you enjoyed this, then check out some of our other episodes where we look at objects from carved bones to canals.